Welcome to the At Your Service podcast of the programme first broadcast on Sunday, the 26th of April. This is Judith Lay, very privileged to once again be at your service. Manx Radio. Moramai, good morning. Today I'm joined by more members of the island's Christian community who've recorded themselves sharing readings and reflections that I've had the pleasure of mixing with the music that you have chosen. And it's all for one reason, to encourage us, to lift us up when life's inclined to bring us down a bit. So let's get started. And once again, thank you to everyone who's been in touch with your favourite hymns and inspirational music. Please keep them coming. I've got a list and I'll play some of your choices every week. At the end of the programme, I'll remind you how you can contact me. Our opening hymn today has been chosen by Reverend Carol Fox. Carol and her husband Doug have a home in the United States near their family and a home in Peel where they love to spend half of each year. When they're back home in the States, they keep in close contact with island life through social media and listening to Manx Radio. And they were spending winter in the States when the COVID-19 pandemic struck. So, as Carol says in her message, we don't know when we'll be able to return to the island, but my heart and spirit are with you. I'll never take being there for granted, but until then, we help where we can and love with all our strength. Carol and Doug send prayers and warmest greetings to their many friends here on the island with this: Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, chosen for us by Reverend Carol and Doug Fox. Today's programme features a brand new poem written in Huddersfield and a reflection written in Wisconsin that became an internet sensation in the space of 3 days. And each of them, in very different ways, reaches right to the heart of our present situation. But first, we're going on a journey with three guides. Reverend Canon Margaret Burrow, who's technically retired but still very active in various areas of church life around the island. The very Reverend Nigel Godfrey, Dean of the Cathedral in Peel, who, in addition to his many other responsibilities, is leading the development of the gardens in the grounds of the cathedral that tell the story of Christianity on the island. And our third guide is pioneer minister from Douglas, Reverend Alex Brown. Each of them is going to explore the same story, but from a different angle. It's another story of Jesus meeting his disciples in the days after he's risen from the dead. First, Canon Margaret will read the story as it's recorded in the Gospel according to St Luke. Then Dean Nigel invites us to imagine that we are the unnamed disciple in the story. And finally, Reverend Alex Brown is the unnamed disciple. But be warned, this is no ordinary journey and it ends with two very specific challenges you'll find difficult to ignore. As we now take the road to Emmaus.
Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread."
Now the green blade rises from the buried grain, weed that in dark earth many days has lain. Love lives again that with the dead has been. Love is come again, like wheat arising green. rain that sleeps unseen. Love is come again, like wheat arising green.
Imagine for a moment that you're the unnamed disciple walking with Cleopas on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. You had seen the terrible events leading to the crucifixion. You recall that only a week earlier, everyone had been caught up with the euphoria at the approaching festival, cutting palm fronds and strewing them before Jesus as he entered the city. You couldn't believe the change of fortune as a result of Jesus' secret arrest and then his being dragged before Pilate. You can still hear the crowd shouting for Barabbas and crucify him. You thought Jesus was going to be the Messiah and sweep out the Romans. To make matters worse, some of the women you know and respect had gone to the tomb early on the day, but they say they found the grave empty and then burbled some nonsense about angels who said he's alive. There is even more confusion because some disciples also said the tomb was empty. To be cheated of his body makes things worse. You are sad too, that you weren't able to say goodbye to Jesus before his death. As you continue to talk to Cleopas about your thoughts, you'll find yourself saying, if only Jesus hadn't gone up to Jerusalem for this festival. If only Jesus hadn't been so predictable in his movements. If only he had not upset the temple authorities by throwing out the money changers. If only. Deep in discussion with Cleopas, you hardly notice another person coming along the road and joining you. What surprises you that he doesn't seem to know anything about these events? Anyway, Cleopas fills him in about the details. Then what happened next, at least with hindsight, was extraordinary. This stranger, who apparently knew nothing about these events, began to talk about the Hebrew scriptures, suggesting that they pointed to a Messiah who would suffer and die. You'd never seen the scriptures in this way before. The last few miles of the journey to Emmaus seem to fly by as you become so absorbed with the stranger's understanding of the scripture. On arriving at Emmaus, Cleopas invites him to stay over because it's getting late. Then all hell breaks loose during the meal when the stranger takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it and shares it. Need more be said? You are so shocked that it was like everything in you is bursting. You want to cry, scream, sing, and jump up and down all at the same time. You can't believe you'd been so blind as to not see Jesus before until that bit of bread.
When our hearts are wintry,
something's happened that I just got to tell you about. It happened a few days ago. I could hardly believe it. It was so amazing. It's like what happened has made us go from winter to spring in just one moment. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's start at the beginning. It was Sunday morning. Me and my friend, we had had enough. We'd been following this miracle guy, the one who was the prophet. We thought he was the one that we'd been waiting for generations for our people. He was certainly a miracle worker, and his teaching was just phenomenal. He was going against what loads of our religious leaders were saying, talking about how the world could be a different place, how it could be so good, and we could have God right at the center of everything. Then the religious leaders had taken him and had arrested him, and he'd been executed right in front of our eyes. None of it had made sense, and now there were rumours that he had come back, or he was going to come back, from the dead. Things were getting scary. The religious leaders, the same ones that captured him, were on the streets, and they were looking for his believers, trying to round us up. It was getting too much. So Cleopas and myself, we decided we're out. So we packed our stuff up, got our bags ready. We were trying to say goodbye to the disciples on that Sunday morning, and suddenly the door burst open. First, all of us were startled, thinking it was maybe the temple police coming to get us. But it was the women. The women who'd gone to his tomb. They came back and their faces were different. Their faces had this look of, they were startled, full of joy and hope. They had this look of hope in their faces. I just can't shake that look. They started to tell us that Jesus was alive again. And again, it didn't make sense. Where was he? Why wasn't he with them? Why couldn't they tell us where he was? So we stayed with them for the afternoon and heard their stories and talked about what it could mean, but Cleopas and myself. Honestly, it was getting too much and too dangerous, and we thought we needed some headspace. We needed to get ourselves away. So we decided to go to this place called Emmaus, which is just 7 miles down the road. We waited until the afternoon when it was safe and not too hot to travel. It was only taking like 3 hours. So we set off. Well, much as we tried to avoid the subject, we kept on circling back and back and back to Jesus. What had been going on and the person we knew that he was. And we kept coming back to the women and what they'd been saying and how they'd seen him and hadn't recognised him. Then they had recognised him and then he'd been gone and he said he was going to come and meet with everybody. What did it all mean? Now, our roads out here are long and dusty and dry. And you notice if someone else is on the road. Well, suddenly, as we were talking about all this stuff, a man came. We could hear his footsteps behind us. We weren't sure where he'd come from. He said to us, "You're talking quite passionately, guys. What are you talking about?" So we turned to him. We must have looked fairly sad. Cleopas, he's the one who started the conversation with him. "You must be the only person in the whole of Jerusalem who doesn't know what's going on," he said to him. "It's about Jesus, the miracle worker. You know, he was the one everyone thought was going to be the one we'd been waiting for. And when it came to the Passover, the whole city seemed divided against him. Half of us for him, half of us against." The religious leaders then took him and executed him. "We've been living in this place of death and this place of winter for days." Then the guy that was with us, he laughed. He laughed at us. He asked us, "Haven't you seen it? Haven't you seen him?" And he took us through the scriptures, piece by piece, moment by moment, again and again and again. He showed us how this figure of Jesus was in our scriptures, all the way through. A light shaft here, a light shaft there, a prophecy here, a poem there, a piece of truth here. And as he talked to us, honestly, our hearts were just on fire inside us with a sense of excitement about what he was talking about. Could this be that we were seeing the real Jesus that we'd heard of? It was getting dark and we got to the place where we were going to stay and he was going to carry on. So we invited him, "Come and stay with us in the safety of this house." He said yes. He sat down with us and he ate dinner with us. Then in the middle of the meal, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to us. And as he did, it was like our eyes were open for the first time. I looked at Cleopas and he looked at me. And when we looked back to where the stranger was, he'd gone. He had gone. It was at that moment that we realized we'd been walking with Jesus. We'd been talking with Jesus, the risen Jesus. The one the women had seen who'd burst through that door earlier on this same day. Well, we knew what we had to do. We left our food, we got all of our stuff, and literally we ran the 7 miles all the way back to Jerusalem. We found the brothers where they were, and we came into them, and we said where we'd been and how we'd seen and eaten with Jesus. And as we said it, Peter said the same. Jesus had appeared to him as well. And he'd appeared to others, many others. And he's still appearing to people now, days on.
Love is come again, like wheat arising green.
I want you to know, what I'm telling you is the truth. And you can meet this Jesus too. Have the courage to ask him to reveal himself to you. But be prepared for how you're going to feel and what is going to happen afterwards.
Like the unnamed disciple on the Emmaus Road, during this horrendous tragedy of the current pandemic that we are having to come to terms with, a world that can never be seen in the same way again. The death and resurrection of Jesus changed everything forever. COVID-19 may mean things are never the same again. This week, we remember Earth Day. We know that the old way of life was killing our planet, but we couldn't stop ourselves. Perhaps we're discovering again the importance of a basic care for neighbour. Perhaps we're giving thanks for so much we've taken for granted. The NHS and the fact that our supermarket shelves are well stocked. From the pain of crucifixion emerges resurrection and new life. Let us pray that when we emerge from lockdown and social distancing, new life and a better world emerges. Amen.
Kitty O'Meara spent her working life in palliative care and from her home in Wisconsin watched with growing concern as the COVID-19 pandemic took hold and with growing sadness that she could no longer take her place alongside her friends still working in healthcare on the front line battling the virus. She felt there was nothing she could do, no way she could help anyone. So her husband Philip said, "Just write something." So she did. She thought, maybe there's something of blessing in all suffering. She wrote her untitled prose poem very quickly and posted it on Facebook, something she said she'd done many times before with very little response. But this time was different. Her verse resonated with so many people that within 3 days it had gone viral and was being shared around the world. I've asked Anne Clark to read it for us now, as I think it echoes closely the words of Dean Nigel's prayer.
And the people stayed home and read books and listened and rested and exercised and made art and played games and learned new ways of being and were still and listened more deeply. Some meditated, some prayed, some danced, some met their shadows, and people began to think differently, and the people healed. And in the absence of people living in ignorant, dangerous, mindless and heartless ways, the earth began to heal. And when the danger passed, and the people joined together again, they grieved their losses, and made new choices, and dreamed new images, and created new ways to live, and heal the earth fully as they had been healed.
Thank you, Anne Clark, reading the words of Kitty O'Meara. Reverend Stephanie Hunter is an assistant curate working for the Church of England in the Huddersfield area, but she's got strong Manx connections. Her mother and all her relations on that side of her family are Manx-born, and about 6 years ago, as part of her training for ordination, Stephanie was an intern at the cathedral in Peel. Just a few days ago, Stephanie felt inspired to write this poem, which I offer now to everyone suffering the agony of bereavement, recognising that every death, from whatever cause, is not a statistic in our fight against COVID-19, but a precious life to be valued, mourned, and never forgotten. Stephanie's poem also carries a powerful message of support for those who continue to fight at the front line, who need to know that they are constantly valued and never alone, and an equally powerful message to those who find their faith shaken to its very core by the suffering that they see. Here's Reverend Stephanie Hunter and Where is God?
I hear the cry, the weep, the sigh. Where is your God? He is in the ward's sweeping floors, holding hands in gloved veil. She is in the face masks and ventilators, sanitizer and aprons. God is in the phone calls and video messages to loved ones banned from the bedside. He is in the tears of those who mourn with broken hearts and lonely souls. Where is God? She is in the stress of doctors and nurses, just doing their best, holding on to life, while life slips away. He is in the bags beneath eyes, of newscasters worn from bearing bleak tidings, day after day after day, as still the numbers rise. She is stacking shelves, bagging flour, counting eggs, bringing food to the table, and hope to hearts of those who hunger and thirst, of those on the breadline without any bread. Where is God while the church is closed? God is in the closeness of the socially distant, over garden walls. She's in the vicar's message of hope, zooming into hearts and homes, in the constant phone calls and emails. God is in the rainbow, in the cross, in my prayers, and in yours. He is hearing and weeping, loving and giving, waiting. Where is God? God is with you, hearing you weep and pray, and rage with the injustice, holding you, loving you all the same. She is waiting to breathe new life into the troubled soul, to heal, to comfort, and to renew.
Thank you to everyone who's joined me to be at your service this morning. If you'd like to choose a favourite hymn for the programme, you can email me anytime on judithleigh@manxradio.com, and Leigh is spelled L-E-Y. I'd love to hear from you and add your favourite hymn to my list. And that's all that we've time for this week. I'm Judith, saying thank you for your company, and I leave you with a prayer for a peaceful and healthy week for you and for those you love. I do hope you'll join me again as the churches of the island unite to be at your service, living faith together. Bye-bye for now.